This is November the 8th, 95. We're in the home of Jesse Cohen on Robin Road, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, for the National Council of Jewish Women. I'm Howard Braun, Ibnor, and
Selma Weiss.
Go ahead, say that.
I'm Jesse Cohen. I'm being the interviewee, and I'm here the request of the National Council of Jewish Women.
Essentially, I'd like you to start by telling us where you were from, where you were born, your parents' names, your siblings, and that's it, approximately when they were born. In
right.
other words, what's your origins?
I'm from a little town outside of Pittsburgh, Clarensburg, Pennsylvania. My parents were Jacob and Rebecca Cohen. They were from Clarensburg also, and my grandfather on my mother's side was from Clarensburg. His name was Samuel Valversky. He would come to this country in the late 1800s. My mother and father were married in Pittsburgh, and I was born in Clarensburg and raised there, and my folks moved to Pittsburgh after I was out of school. I graduated from Clarensburg High School. I then went to Penn State for a couple of years.
Well, you've gotten pretty far. You're doing very well. How did your father make a living?
My father was in the furniture business, furniture stores in Cannonsburg and Washington and Bridgeville,
mm-hmm.
Pennsylvania,
mm-hmm.
Subsequently in other towns. My mother was a graduate of Carnegie Tech University.
Mm-hmm. What year was that?
I don't really know.
That's okay.
My mother and father are both deceased.
Uh-huh.
My mother happened to be a valedictorian of her high school and college class.
Uh-huh.
And my dad was born in New York,
mm-hmm.
and met my mother when he was traveling as a salesman. He
mm-hmm.
called my grandfather.
Mm-hmm.
And the old story of meeting the daughter of the customer's daughter. Anyhow, they fell in love and got married and had three children.
Mm-hmm.
I was the oldest of the three children. I have two sisters.
And their names?
The two sisters' name is Charlotte, married of a fellow named Richard Cohen, C-O-H-N.
Mm-hmm.
He has passed away about 5 years ago. And my other sister's name is Sylvia. She lives in Muskegon, Michigan. She's a Jewish activist. She's very involved in all kinds of Jewish
in Muskegon.
Affair in Muskegon, Michigan, and in Israel.
Uh-huh.
She's the present chairman of the board of the Hartman Institute in Israel.
Mm-hmm.
She's very involved in the non-Jewish community
mm-hmm.
as well as the Jewish
mm-hmm.
community.
Is she married?
She's married to Richard Kaufman.
Mm-hmm.
It's
from Pittsburgh Kaufman's?
No, Richard is from Michigan.
Mm-hmm.
Muskegon, Michigan. He's a manufacturer of store fixtures.
Okay.
And anyhow, that's my family.
Mm-hmm. You went to grade school in Cannonsburg.
Correct.
And was there a shul there?
Yes,
and
there was.
What happened with you with your father both?
Yeah. My father was the head of the shul there. I was bar mitzvahed there.
Do you remember the name by any chance?
The name of the shul, and I do not remember the name of the shul.
Uh-huh.
It's no longer in existence.
It was conservative,
toward Orthodox.
Yeah.
I think all shuls in small towns in those days were the same.
Yeah.
But they had enough, plenty of families to support a shul. And we went to the high holidays and often on Saturday mornings to shul, and it was a nice little shul.
Who taught you for bar mitzvah?
I had my mother had a rabbi come to the house, but I did go to Cheder, and I was taught both at the Cheder and also by the rabbi that came from Pittsburgh.
He came out from
Pittsburgh to teach me. My mother always kept kosher. When they moved to Pittsburgh, mother and dad both joined both Beshaw and Mount Rodershaw. My mother was a wonderful parishioner. She used to go she liked Dr. Friot. She went to all of his services on Saturday morning. And but she kept kosher all up to the day she died, even though she belonged to a Reformed congregation. But I once asked her, why, I said, Mother, why do you do that? She changed all the dishes for Passover. I said, you know, you go to Rodershaw. She says, look, my parents did it. I've done it all my life. It doesn't bother me. I enjoy doing it. It reminds me that I'm a Jew. And I believe in Jewish tradition. So she's done it all her life. I think perhaps as a result of that, I have three children.
Their names?
Nancy, Kathy, and Tim. Nancy and Kathy are married, living here in Pittsburgh. Nancy's married name is Nancy Schlemmel. Kathy's married name is Kathy Rose, and Tim, my son, of course, is Tim Cohen. He lives in West Springfield, Michigan. I think as a result of but I know it all the holidays. We always went to Mother's house for a meal before the fast on Yom Kippur. We went there for Rosh Hashanah meals. Always went to Mother's house for the Seders. And as a result, my mother, although she would never be termed or described as an Orthodox Jewess, was Orthodox in her own mind. And I have my older daughter became religious. She became a Lubavitch. And she's a very active member of the local Lubavitch community.
That's the one married to Billy?
No. Nancy is married to an Israeli by the name of Yitzhak Shlomo. And as a result of Nancy's Baal Tshuva, she became a Baal Tshuva, returning to religion as a result of that, I think she's had a profound effect on our whole family. It's just a continuation of the things that my mother so firmly believed in. Kathy, my middle daughter, is left Rodershaw. We are members of Rodershaw and have been all of our lives. Kathy went to Tree of Life, which is a conservative congregation. Friday night is a night at home where they light the candles and the kids sing the Kiddush and the blessing over the bread and the Friday night service. They do at home every Friday night. My wife, who we never lit candles, but once Nancy became religious, we now light candles wherever you are, our home or away.
Did Naomi have a hard time with that?
No, she got a hard time with that. Her grandfather was a rabbi on her mother's side, so that was no problem for her, but she enjoys it. My son Tim has become Shomer Shabbos, and truly Shomer Shabbos. He won't answer the phone, he won't ride, he won't do this, he won't do that. So I think that what's gone on in our family is that we've had a very significant return to Jewish traditions
and practices.
Was your son became religious also as a result of Nancy?
I think that certainly that was one of the real influences. And I think it's beautiful, by the way. I'm just proud of Olive Room, I think they were all, and they're good parents, and they're raising their children as Jews.
Very good. How old were you when you left Canisburg?
I had already graduated from West Point.
I haven't got to there yet. I'll get to that.
I had when we left Canisburg. I went to a high school in Canisburg.
Okay. What do you remember the name of that high school?
Canisburg High School.
Canisburg High School. How did you do there? What did you do? Did you play any sports?
I was a good student. I wasn't valedictorian like my mother or anything like that, but I would think, I guess I was in the upper tenth of the class. I did not play any sports.
Mm-hmm.
I participated in sports, but not at the varsity level.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I was a fairly decent athlete, but
mm-hmm.
not good enough to compete on the varsity level.
Mm-hmm. Is there anything particularly distinctive about the school or that place, or it was just a good high school?
I think it was a decent high school.
Any Jewish problems there for you?
Well, we didn't have a lot of Jews.
I didn't realize that.
And I never really had any problems. We never really had any anti-Semitic problems in Canisburg. My parents were very much involved with not only the Jewish community, but the general community.
Mm-hmm.
And my dad was an activist in the local community chest, and he was always the UJA chairman in Canisburg.
Mm-hmm.
And we had no problem. My mother was very involved in all sorts of things.
Mm-hmm.
She was very involved in the DASA, very involved in the community.
Mm-hmm.
So that we felt no anti-Semitism at all, which I think was wonderful.
Mm-hmm. Have you any idea what the community's size approximately was?
Well, when we lived, there was about 12,000 to 15,000
people.
Yeah.
And Jews?
Jews, there probably were about 75 families.
Families. Mm-hmm. Thank you. That was what I really needed to know.
You
went to college at?
I went to Penn State for a couple of years, and then 2.5 years to Penn State. I graduated. I got a degree because I had an appointment at West Point the following year, so I accelerated and graduated. Got a degree, and then I went to West Point.
Mm-hmm.
I graduated from West Point in 1946.
Mm-hmm. Were you on one of these programs of accelerated during war?
Accelerated.
And officer training, kind of a combination?
Well,
the Navy had things, remember, V-12 or something.
Right. At West Point, we graduated as officers in the regular army.
Right. Mm-hmm.
West Point was an accelerated course. I graduated in 3 years because we had no leaves, no vacations in civilian terms, but there were no leaves for the summer, for Christmas, for anything because of the war had broken out. And that was the rationale for that.
Mm-hmm.
Is there a reason that you decided to go to West Point as opposed to
a regular college?
Yeah.
Well, I had, for years, as a kid, wanted to go to West Point. I don't know whatever possessed me to do it, but I was possessed. I had a couple of people that I knew, non-Jewish people, friends, who got appointments at West Point, went to West Point, and I just thought it would be a wonderful thing.
Did you have to pay the congressman?
No, you don't pay. You get an appointment.
I know. My brother tried, and he had to pay the congressman.
I was an appointee of a congressman, and then we had to take a competitive test,
of course,
and then we had to pass a physical.
Mm-hmm.
And they appoint a principal, and three alternates in those days. I think they still do the same today. They all take the test, the competitive test.
Mm-hmm.
I think that the kids that they appoint have to be at a certain level in their class or they are not qualified to be an appointee. And the principal the first year I was appointed, I didn't get in. The principal got in.
Mm-hmm.
I was one of the alternates. The second year, I was the first alternate.
Mm-hmm.
And we all took the competitive test that the principal didn't pass it, and I was qualified, and I was appointed.
Mm-hmm.
It was a It was a great experience.
Was there a Jewish problem there?
Well, there was a huge Jewish problem there because they had hazing in those days.
Yes.
And with the name of Cohen, I was obviously Jewish. I had the misfortune, I would call it, of having my squad leader, being a guy from Tennessee, happened to be a nice guy, tough guy. But he never had met a Jew in his life. In those days, when I went to West Point, there were maybe 30 or 40 Jews in my four classes. Today, thanks to the fact that we have a Jewish chapel at West Point, the Jewish population at West Point has increased tremendously.
Mm-hmm.
I was hazed tremendously as a plea.
Mm-hmm.
But after the plea view, I didn't feel any anti-Semitism. Mm-hmm. I didn't feel any hatred, any bigotry, any of those things.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it all depends on the individual. A lot of Jewish kids in our class didn't make it. They just couldn't take it, and they quit. Mm-hmm. They dropped out. We lost a big percentage of our class that way. But I think I was hazed more for being a Jew than the non-Jewish kids were hazed.
Yes,
only because of the situation that I found myself in.
Yeah.
But as long as you sort of flowed with a punch,
mm-hmm.
You could get along, and we did get along. And some of my very good friends today, my best friends,
mm-hmm.
are graduates that went to West Point with me, that we've remained friends all these years, and none of them are Jewish.
Where was your service after 46 graduation?
I was sent as a, in our first class year, that's the senior year, I was chosen with a small group of first classmen, and that time the war was now in full force. I was sent to Camp Croft, in South Carolina, to act as a lieutenant, to train draftees going through basic training. And because there was a shortage of infantry officers, they chose about 20 first classmen to be sent to infantry camps to train soldiers. I was one of the guys chosen. And I went to Camp Croft, and I was taking them through basic. I taught all sorts of courses, and one was a course of the Army called Unarmed Combat. It was while teaching this course, and I was demonstrating what happens when you're attacked from the rear, and how you throw the guy over your shoulder knife, and as you always do, you pick out the biggest and the heaviest guy in the whole recruit class, and I picked this guy. He had to weigh 250 pounds, and I had him attack me from the rear, and I was demonstrating this, mm-hmm. this sort of a judo type of a
movement
that we did, and I threw him over my shoulder, and I collapsed. I couldn't get up. Something went out in my back, and I couldn't get up. In the meantime, these kids thought it was the funniest thing they ever saw. They're hysterically laughing, and I'm hysterical, but not laughing. as a result of that injury, and that was in my last year, was about in the very last semester, in the last part of the last semester that they sent us out to these different camps, and they sent me to the station hospital at Camp Croft. Subsequently, I was transferred back to the station hospital at West Point. In those days, the disc operation was just coming into existence. And the orthopedic major that was taking care of me at West Point, and I've been in the hospital, they didn't really know quite what to do. They had me in everything from traction to non-traction to put me in some sort of splint, and they had x-rayed my back, and it wasn't broken, fortunately. I was subsequently transferred to Walter Reed, and then from Walter Reed to the doctor sent me over to Hopkins, where a neurosurgeon there diagnosed my injury as a disc and said I needed a fusion, etc. I then went back to, before that, I went, the graduation was coming up, so I went to West Point, back to West Point for graduation. I graduated.
But did you get that
operator? No, I wasn't operator on that. Because I didn't want to miss graduation. Furthermore, my wife and I had planned to get married at graduation, a tradition at West Point, but that's not permitted to be married before graduation. And I was married right after graduation. My back problem persisted, and I then, right after we were married, I went to back to Hopkins. I was operated on for the disc operation. In those days, the disc operation, I was in the hospital for like 2.5 weeks, then I had to go home for a month to bed. And I was subsequently discharged from the service because of that. So I really didn't serve
much. You didn't really have
any service, right?
How'd you happen to meet your wife, and how'd you happen to decide to get married?
I've known our families knew each other. Her father, they were from Johnstown. My family was from Canonsburg. My dad was a UJA activist, and my father-in-law was saying they met each other. My mother used to speak for Odessa all over the tri-state, and she had spoken in Johnstown and met the Glossers. So our families knew each other.
Mm-hmm.
I met her, Naomi in Atlantic City one summer.
Mm-hmm.
And then when I was in Penn State for the period of time I was there, she came to Penn State and I knew her. I met her there and our families knew each other. So we were engaged before I graduated.
Whose idea was it to get to be engaged, yours or hers?
I think it was a mutual. I think we mutually decided. I don't know. Let's call it hers. But anyhow, we could marry. We'll be married 50 years this
year. Where were you married?
We were married here in Pittsburgh.
In Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
You remember the rabbi?
Rabbi was from Johnstown.
Uh-huh.
I don't recall, I don't recall his name, but he was a nice gentleman from Johnstown.
Mm-hmm.
And we had a nice wedding.
Then you obviously returned because you were discharged to Pittsburgh.
Right.
And then what did you do?
I went into the family business.
Mm-hmm.
I went into my family's business. My father was in the furniture business, as I previously mentioned. And I didn't go into the business for several months because I was in a recuperative situation, yeah. And anyhow.
What was the name of the business?
It was called the Home Furniture Company in Cannonsburg.
The Home?
H-O-M-E. Furniture Company in Cannonsburg. And in those days, I guess we had stores in Cannonsburg and Washington.
Mm-hmm.
We subsequently opened a lot of stores under the name of GB Furniture in Western Pennsylvania. And I was running the business. My dad turned the business over to me in a relatively short period of time. And
what made him do that?
Well, he was a very interesting guy, a wonderful man. He gave me an awful lot of leeway in that business.
And it goes both ways. Some fathers do and some don't.
People don't want to let go, and some people want to test their kids and see how capable they are.
That's my question.
And he tested me very early on. After I got into the business, he let me make a lot of decisions. We opened additional stores, and they were my idea, and he gave me my head, and he let me do it. He was a good advisor, but also he didn't want, if I had an idea that he thought was good, he supported it 100%.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't really negate many of my ideas, and I have really respected him so much for that. I respect him for everything, but that was very interesting, because I don't think that I run the same way when we were running the business, and my son-in-law came in the business, and Tim came into business. I don't think that I was quite as lenient with my kids as my dad was with me. I kept a much tighter rein on them.
Which son-in-law came into business?
Yitzhak Shlomo came after he married Nancy.
Mm-hmm.
And they got married in New York because they were about two of them, both of them.
Yeah.
He came from Israel. He has an interesting background. He's an Israeli, fought in the Golani Brigade during the Six-Day War, was a decorated soldier, his father was in the exporting business of food in Israel. He was an importer and an exporter of food products. Did business all over Europe, and exported Israeli products to Europe, imported European products to Israel. He sent Yitzhak after his service in the IDF to go to agricultural school at the University of California,
Davis.
Right. And he came from a secular family, very secular family. Most Israeli families in those days were secular.
Mm-hmm.
But he came from that kind of background. It was interesting. So he went to the University of California Ag School. There was a Chabad on the campus.
Mm-hmm.
And a Chabad rabbi, first of all, he told me the story that when he first got there, all the Jews on campus wanted to ask him about Judaism, but he didn't really know much about it. I mean, he studied the Bible as a history book, as Israelis do, vis-a-vis learning traditional Judaism. Went to this Chabad, he was invited to the Chabad house for the weekend to go to shul, to daven, to do all those things, and he eventually was hooked. He left the University of California and went to a yeshiva in Morristown, New Jersey. Nancy, who had graduated from college, also, she was seeking and searching, she finally settled on Judaism, which I was very pleased. And she went to a yeshiva in Crown Heights. She originally went what they call a seminary. It was out in St. Paul, Minnesota. And a rabbi out there was, I think, a rabbi feller who was a very charismatic, Lubavitch rabbi, who happened to be a good friend of the governor, the senator from Judy Boschwitz from Minnesota. And Nancy was very much involved. He obviously did a good job, and she became...
Did she get involved through this Chabad club?
No.
Where did she originally...
Well, she went...
I'm watching, okay.
She went out with a guy. She was up in Boston doing graduate school work, and she dated a professor from either MIT or Harvard. Anyhow, they went to somebody's home, who had become Lubavitch, for the weekend, and they had a couple little kids, and she called me after that weekend, she said, "Daddy, that was the most peaceful, most beautiful family experience I've ever had." We never did that, of course. We were foreign Jews. And she said, I was talking to the wife of the couple that she went to, and she told her that she had gone to this, she also was a Bolshevik, that she had gone to the seminary, run by the Lubavitch in St. Paul. And she said to me, she said, "I think I'd like to do that." So I said, "Well, Nancy, that's really far afield from what our background is. I'm not sure you're going to be happy. I can't imagine it." And I wasn't that familiar with Lubavitch myself at that time, and I depicted him as the guys in the black hats and all that sort of thing. But anyhow, I sent her out there. She went out there, and she got hooked. Then they made a show up, and that's how she met her husband when she got to Brooklyn and so on.
Mm-hmm.
So that's how she got involved. And as I said, she's had an influence on the whole family as far as traditional Judaism was concerned. I got lost. Where was I?
Well, you've done exactly what you're supposed to be doing.
That type should be over momentarily. It's more than...